I appreciate that. Keep that in mind. It's a good something to compare to what we have on our mind. This is the day for one-word titles. You remember Brother Thomas's title? I. Okay. Well, I've got a much bigger subject than that. My word has three letters in it. It may not be a bigger subject, but I also have one word on my heart this morning. Three letters. Now, how could a three-letter word have much impact upon us? Well, if it were God, you couldn't get any bigger than that. Or sin. That has tremendous impact upon us, doesn't it? Joy? Joy makes a big difference in life, doesn't it? Absolutely. Well, it's not any of those. Many times, I didn't search to see how many times it's used, but many times in the Bible, this little word is used also. Let. Let. Now you might say, well, what's the big deal about let? Well, for the Lord to bless us for a little while, I'm not going to try to go through all of them. But I do want to notice a few passages that speak about this. Let me give you, it was a long definition. You would think a small word would have an easy definition. But let me give you some idea of what the word itself conveys. Because really, if you stop and think about it, it does involve, I mean, a let is a result. And there's a lot that goes into that. All right? Let is to think, involving your thoughts and affections in such a way as to affect your actions. Wow, that's a lot for such a short word. But it's thoughts and affections that influence your actions. Because let is something that when the Bible speaks about let us do this or let your whatever, the idea is you may or may not do that. And as the scriptures exhort us to let us do many things, especially the book of Hebrews. I don't think I have a passage that I want to look at particularly in Hebrews, but as you read the book of Hebrews, notice that there's many times it says, let us do this, let us do that. So there's many times, and whether or not you do that has a lot to do with the way you're thinking, what you've set your affections upon, and what's going to influence your actions. A very small word, but a very powerful, pivotal point that can change your life. You might do something good. You might not do something good. Let. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever really messed up? I figured I'd get a lot of nods on that one. I have. I'll probably do it again. But have you really messed up? And then that person comes along and says, what on earth were you thinking? You've probably heard that one too, haven't you? If you're a parent, you've probably used it on your children. What on earth were you thinking? And you probably heard, well, I wasn't. Well, if that's true, if you weren't thinking, then what was controlling you was this old flesh that Brother Thomas was talking to us about. This old nature does not love God. This old nature does not seek to please God. And if you're not thinking in ways that's going to influence your behavior, guess what's going to pop out? That's not my opinion. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, it says, "Cease from your evil ways and learn to do well." You got it? It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some thought. It's going to take some presence of mind. It's going to take some energy to do good. Thankfully, we have the Spirit of God in us, working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? Because if we were left to our own, if we were left to these old passions of the old man, this world would be even worse than it is. But God has had mercy upon us. He's blessed us with His Spirit. He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, but we are not robots. We are not not all things are predestinated. You know, the actions of men, the choices of men, they are not all predestinated. What God predestinates is people. He chose out a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. That people are the ones Jesus came and died for. That people, the ones going to be raised and fashioned like unto His glorious body and taken home to be with Him forever. And that people will rejoice with Him forever. But while we're here, this word "let" operates powerfully in our lives. That tells us something about regeneration. When we stop and think about how that when we're born of the Spirit, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just eradicate that old I, that old man? I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about the passions of the flesh anymore. But He doesn't do that. Someday He will. Someday we're going to be raised and fashioned, or if we're alive and remain when He comes again, we're going to be changed. Fashioned like unto His glory. Taken up to meet Him in the clouds and the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then we won't have to worry about this old nature of ours anymore. What a day that'll be. But right now, we need to take heed to the little word, let. All right? Now, with regeneration, you know, if you're a person that likes steak, if you're a person that likes, you know, a lot of things, after regeneration, you're still going to have those same desires. You're still going to have that same personality. You're still going to have those same preferences. And in many ways, regeneration doesn't change that. But when we think about what the Lord does for us, the mercy that He's given to us, the grace that's been bestowed upon us, the salvation, His salvation that has been freely given to us, it ought to cause us to have a tremendous appreciation for God and His mercy and His love, His grace, and what He has given to us, that we can never be separated from. What a blessing that is. And that ought to cause us then to be thankful. And when we're thinking about His goodness and mercy, when we're thinking about what He's done for us, when we're thinking about, oh wretched man that I am, and yet God in His mercy and His grace has saved me, then we are thankful. Then we are then we do have a lot of gratitude in our hearts. All right? Let's notice a couple of passages. I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And what I want to begin with is verse 5. But it happens to be the third time that Paul used let in this chapter. Now, I'm only in the fifth verse, but this is the third time that he's used this word let. But I just want to notice verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right? There's so much more there, but that's the thought I want to get. Let, and I hope with what I've already said here, that you understand you might do this and you might not. Right? He doesn't make us do that. He has given us his spirit. We are enabled to do that. But what we set our mind and our affections upon has a great influence upon how often we will let this mind be in us. All right? Now, this mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Stop and think about that for just a moment. Like I said, when we're born again of the Spirit, we are enabled to have this kind of a mind. But it's not the omniscient or all-knowing mind that Christ had as God. We don't have that kind of a mind. We can't discern the thoughts and intents of the heart like he had. But having his spirit within us, we can think about. You know, having that place in us. Jesus said in John chapter 8, you know, why is it that you do not hear my speech? Because my word hath no place in you. Someone that's not born of the Spirit of God, they're not going to receive the Word of God. They're not going to appreciate the Word of God. They don't have what they need to be able to receive it. Right? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says it's foolishness unto them. Neither can they know it because it's spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit, we cannot understand spiritual things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what kind of a mind is that? If it's not the all-knowing, and if it's not one that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, then that's not under consideration. But what is under consideration is that his word teaches us what he's done for us. His word teaches us what we should do in response to that. His word teaches us how we need to be thinking, how we need to be setting our affection on the things in this, how we need to be setting our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. There's plenty about the word of God that teaches us how to have the kind of mind that we should. But it starts by saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I do always those things which please him. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So when we think about the Lord Jesus came to show us how we should honor the Father, how we should live, how we should love one another in this life, that's the kind of mind we're to have all the time. That doesn't mean we can't think about our jobs, doesn't mean we can't study and do well in school and all those kinds of things, but we need to have a heart that's set upon the goodness and mercy of God and a desire to do his will. Let this mind be in you. There are plenty of passages that tell us what happens when our mind and our affections are set on other things, right? And I've said many times, if you want a sure prescription to be worried and anxious and upset with the way things are going in this world, just turn on the TV and listen to that garbage all day long. But if you'll set your mind and your affections on things above, on the goodness and mercy of our God, on all that He's done for us, all He's doing for us, all the ways that He provides for us, all that we have in Him, the hope that we have in Christ because of Jesus shedding His precious blood to redeem us from our sins, when you're thinking about those things, you can have joy and peace in your life. Let it happen. Now, I get real frustrated when I hear people talking about let God do this and let God do that. God does what He wants to. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He does what He wants. But you know, we have choices. Even though we're His child and nothing can separate us from that relationship, there are things that can separate us from our fellowship with Him. That little word let has powerful implications. All right? There's so much more we could say about that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. The whole chapter is good. But let's go down to verse 12. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, what is he saying there? Well, brethren, as the elect of God, we are holy and beloved of God. So let's act like it. Let's live like it. Let us make those kind of choices that show forth His praises to the one who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, right? All right? So He says, Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a tremendous amount of forgiveness here that we owe to others, right? When you take what Christ has forgiven us as the bar, then there's room for us to forgive one another. All right? Above all these things, put on charity. Now, he's giving a lot of practical admonition on how we should live, how we should make choices, how we can live in fellowship with the Spirit of God, with God's people who also love God and who want to live that way. There's a lot of practical admonition that he gives us here. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let. If you'll realize the consequences or the result or the culmination of doing all of those practical things and taking heed to the Word of God, you will have peace of God, the peace of God, to enjoy in your day. Because you're walking in fellowship with Him. You're following the leadership of the Spirit. You're following the teaching of His Word. You're being more like Christ. Others can see Christ in you. You can act in a way that Christ would act in dealing with others. There's so much practical admonition here that he tells us that if we would take heed to it, he says, and let the peace of God, which that all those things, taking heed to those things, will bring that kind of peace to us. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, What's the basis for our choices? Do we want to choose to please God and enjoy peace and fellowship with God? Or do we follow this old flesh and choose those things and not have peace with God? You've got to be thinking. You've got to be choosing before time, so that the choice you make is based upon what would please God, what would bring peace in my life. If I'm not thinking, and if I let this flesh rule, that's not going to bring peace. That's going to disturb our fellowship with God. But when we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, when I let the fact that doing these things will bring more joy and peace and contentment to my life, then that peace of God that I desire greatly is causing me to make the kind of choices. I'm thinking about it. I'm evaluating. What's going to happen? What's the consequences? It will help me when I remember the goodness and mercy of God, when I remember all that Jesus suffered to redeem me from my sins, when I remember what I am, the wretched man that I am, and God loved me anyway and had mercy upon my poor soul. When I'm thinking, it helps, doesn't it? It helps us let us do the better choice. Let the peace of God rule. And then he continues in the next verse. Well, let me finish that one. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thankfulness is a powerful way to feel that gratitude and to feel our need of the Lord. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Is that a choice? Is that a choice of having the word of God in you? Now, obviously regeneration was not a choice, but reading this word, studying this word, being reminded of this word, being mindful of the goodness and mercy of God, having that treasured up in our heart, yes, that's a result of choices. What did David say in Psalm 119, what is it, 11? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. I'm telling you something, reading this word on a regular basis, and it may sound like a broken record, but it's so, so needful that we have this word on a regular basis to treasure up in our hearts to help us with the choices we make each day. Right? So let the words of Christ, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. See, that's what it brings, wisdom. You want more wisdom? James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You sincerely desire wisdom? Ask the Lord. Read his word. Pray. He'll give it to you. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Where there's a sincere desire for it, it's because he's working in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure anyway. And when his children ask for those things that please God, don't you know he's pleased to grant it? So James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then he goes on, so much more, teaching and admonishing us, and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Those are the kinds of things that need to be in our mind and in our heart. And we need to be thinking about those things. Let's not go about not thinking and allowing the flesh to rule in our choices and our thoughts and whatever, in our actions. But let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Couple more real quick and we'll close out. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar passage. Proverbs chapter 3. Perhaps maybe the first thing you think about when you think about Proverbs chapter 3 is verses 5 and 6. Very familiar passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We love that, don't we? Back up a few verses. Let's go to the beginning of that chapter. All the word of God is good. Some of it's just more familiar to us than others. Some of it fits our case at seasons in our life more than others. I understand that. But back up a few verses in Proverbs chapter 3 and listen to what he says. By the inspiration of the Spirit, Solomon told us, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know what that tells me? We may or we may not. We may not get down to that verse 5 and 6 if we don't choose to keep the word of God in our heart, to keep the word of God in the forefront of our mind, to keep the what's pleasing unto the Lord. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But if you remember in Philippians chapter 2, when we're told that, he says, and now, brethren, not as you have obeyed in my absence, but much more in my presence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's working there. Let's listen to it. Let's follow that. Let's remember his word. Let's think about all the ways that God blesses us each day, what he has blessed us with, what we have to look forward to by his grace and his mercy. Let thine heart keep my commandments. If we don't do that, we're not going to be keeping the word of Christ in our heart. We're not going to be letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. See how needful this is? That little word there points out a place, you might say a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? You know, lust of the flesh, lusts are going to be there all the time. Lust itself is not sin. It's when we take heed to it. It's how we respond to it that constitutes sin. The lust of the flesh is going to be there all the time. What we need to do is to be mindful, to be thinking about the goodness and mercy of God. Be thinking about how our choices will cause results that will either help our fellowship with God or disturb our fellowship with God. And if we desire to have more fellowship with the Lord, if we desire more peace, if we desire to be in a close fellowship, not only with the Lord, but with the Lord's people, bless your hearts, we need to follow that let us do what's good in the sight of the Lord and not follow after the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Several lets here. But I want to just kind of get our thinking along these lines here. Paul has been speaking about putting off the old man. If we're going to do a good job of letting the Word of God dwell in us richly and letting the peace of God rule in our hearts, we need to put off that old man, don't we? That I wish we could do it once and for all, but we can't. It's more of a matter of suppressing his influence by remembering the goodness and mercy of God, by walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. All those practical admonitions that we have in the Scripture. So Paul's been saying here in this chapter, put off the old man, put on the new. All right, several admonitions. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let's begin with verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What builds up people? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By following the flesh. The Spirit's there, working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But if we're not following that, then it grieves the Spirit. In other words, you're not in peace with the Spirit. God has put that there as a wonderful helper to us. If we'll listen, if we'll sense our spirit, is it joyful or is it troubled? If it's troubled, there may be some way that we're grieving the Holy Spirit. So he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you, from you with all malice. And be ye kind. Be ye kind. You know, Paul could have said, and let us be kind. Right? It's a choice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you'll do that, then the next chapter says, and be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Dear children, walking in peace and love and fellowship. Because the choices that we've made are choices that are good and wholesome and edifying and loving and kind and gracious and merciful and humble. Those kind of choices. Let us be that way. That little word, let. Boy, it's powerful. Because it points out times that we're at crossroads. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think about that little word. Think about how many times we have the opportunity to use it. And as you're reading the scriptures, when you encounter that little word, pause and consider what we're being exhorted to do. Because generally, it's telling us what we should do instead of what we should not do. If we're thinking, if our affections are in the right place, what a blessing the choices we make will be. But if we're not thinking, we just might mess up. May God help us to remember his goodness and mercy, and let us go on to perfection. May God bless you, is our prayer.